maybe you should talk to us so that we know what to do and where to start. I'm always happy to see our friends from the media. And I read a lot of what they write. But you see, unless things are confirmed, one cannot take them for granted. The last time we were here, there was a gentleman who was sitting here, who was a DG. And outside this meeting, he was called by the name of one very unfortunate leader who messed up the Soviet Union. So, now I don't see him. So, I don't know whether he's still there or he's not. We had actually wanted to shift this hearing to accommodate another department that had asked for a postponement. But we said no, we can't shift because the minister has confirmed that she's coming. So we're about to start, she's not here. And you being the face I recognize, that's why I'm referring to you. Just to assist and give us some sense of direction.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members and colleagues. The minister is on the way. She did confirm that she will be here. But in terms of the officials that are here, Chair, you're quite right. I'm a chief financial officer. I'm currently acting as a DG. The DG, Mr. Dan Mashitisho, is on precautionary suspension. And I'm with the colleagues. On my left.
All right. No, that's fine. If that is the case, maybe let us just formalize things, comrades. You have introduced yourself. Maybe let's also know who is here. And from you, then Yakaba, my national treasurer, see if the auditor general is represented in members, and then we can then decide what next. Maybe let's allow your colleagues to introduce themselves, and then we can take it from there.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Christopher Priet, Chief Director, Risk Management.
Morning, Chair and members. My name is the Chief Financial Officer for Water Trading Entity.
Morning, Chair. My name is Zandile Mate, DDG Infrastructure.
You were not here last time. Good to see you. Okay.
Morning, Chair and members. My name is P.K. Lohodi, CEO, Lebella Northern Water.
Honorable Chair, I'm Squire Matlangu, I'm DGG Corporate Services.
Advocate Mpaha, advisor to the Minister.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Baba Lamanya Kanyaka, Acting Chief Director, Corporate Planning and Strategies.
Morning, Chair, honorable members. I am Togo Sikwaza, Acting DDG Regulation.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Rishoke Jomoloto, the Acting Director of Policy Coordination and Stakeholder Management.
Good morning, honorable Chair, honorable members. Trevor Balser, the DDG in the department.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. My name is Tulani Nduli, Director of Risk Management.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. My name is Maka Mozati, the Acting Chief Director, Internal Audit.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Andy Dechona from Media Section. Morning, Chair and Members. I'm Lemandle Landamase, spokesperson to the Minister.
Good morning, Chair, Honorable Members. My name is Rose Mashaule from National Treasury, responsible for supply chain management, governance, monitoring, and compliance.
Okay. Zane.
Morning, Honorable Members. The auditors are still coming. They are delayed by the traffic. I'm Zane Leket from AG.
We know you, Zane. Okay, comrades, may we introduce ourselves.
Dumela Mdula Stulo. Nalibiso la Kisa Kikegan, ke member committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and colleagues. My name is Tabelo Chilwane, member of the committee.
Morning. My name is Nomovio Mende, member of the committee.
Chairperson Nkulawa, the committee.
Morning, Chair. Thank you. Tim Browdesit, proud member of the committee.
Morning, Chair. Leon Basan, member of the Water and Sanitation Portfolio Committee.
Right. Thank you very much. I'm Comrade Tema Godi, a proud chairperson of the committee. Right. Now, when I came here, it was already 2 minutes past nine. So it was starting at nine. I would imagine that among the many officials who are here, somebody should by now have whispered to you where the minister is, a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes away. Well, anyway, you are the acting DG. So, because when we wrote the letter, we had said we want to engage with the minister. All right. Well, comrades, may we switch our cellular phones off, please. Please. Because when it does what it did right now, whatever is being recorded, is affected negatively. So please, just switch off your cellular phone and okay. Welcome once again, Comrade Minister. We last engaged in November last year in your presence. Subsequently, I think in May, when we met the officials, you were not available. There was an apology which which was presented to us. Because in our November meeting, there was a commitment to finish some additional information on the irregular fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which was indeed done sometimes just before New Year, because the document is dated the 31st of December 2016, which then went into the details about a whole range of issues. So we then held the follow-up meeting in May to say, fine, let's go through these issues and seek to have a better understanding of what is happening. Unfortunately, COVID minister, we did not accomplish that task, which is why we're here. We're very much disappointed by the officials who came in terms of the quality and the ability to respond to issues in ways that assisted us to have a better understanding of what the critical challenges might be. And I think that is why, unlike the normal and usual engagements, we ended up writing you the letter where we're saying, you know, we think as a political head, Naomi, let's interact with you. But what is it that is at the core of these challenges? What it is that from your side as a political head needs to be done, or is being done, or has been done to ensure that this perpetual situation is turned around. I always say, and I know it's not to develop anything else, I always say SASSA deals with 17 million people, and yet water and sanitation deals with everybody. So if you have a problem in that department, then all of us, the very rich and the very poor, are most likely to be affected the same way, one way or the other. So to us, it is a very, very strategic department to allow it to just float along. Now, we are happy that you are here. Except that I received your message. You could see you should leave at 11, which then throws everything a little in the terrain of uncertainty, because I was telling the acting DG that we were supposed to have postponed this hearing because last week we had to postpone National Treasure, so we wanted them. But we said because you were going to be available, not knowing how your schedules are, we'd rather shift them. Because since you are available, if we shift, we don't know what your schedules will be. And if now, we'll only be here for 2 hours. Not that I want us to be here for 4 hours, but I'm not sure, and I don't know how long it will take us to discuss the issues. Now, if by 11 you need to be out, then it then defeats the very purpose for which we had thought we need the presence of your political leadership. I think that's a little caveat that is there. But, yeah.
No, thank you very much, Chief. Yes, let me deal with the one that puts a bit of discomfort, the 11 o'clock issue. there is a joint submission that is going to a joint cabinet meeting. And again, it comes back to the issue that you have raised around the strategic role of water security. It's a submission that's going to be presented by the Department of Human Settlement. Ourselves and the Department of COPTA are affected parties. Deputy Minister Andrew Nen, as you remember, deals with the integrated urban development strategy, and the interest in going into that joint, it's a joint committee meeting, was to ensure that our own issues are picked up in that joint cabinet meeting. From the time when we picked up what is contained in the cabinet memo and the inputs that are expected, one has been in consultation with Deputy Minister Andrew Snell, who also happened that he's not going to be in that joint cabinet meeting. We have since agreed that we will request that we be granted an opportunity to make written submissions on the report by the Department of Human Settlement, so you can have comfort. I'm not going anywhere. I'll stay until
you're done. All right. Okay, thank you very much, Kumbini. Thank you,
Chair, and honorable members. I'm told that the team has already introduced itself. We were going to come, as it is our tradition in the ministry, together with the deputy minister. She's out of the country. She's representing us in Denmark, and I want to humbly present her apologies here today. Secondly, Chair, just to appreciate what you have raised around the initiatives that have been there, including the last meeting that was held sometime in May in 2017. The business that was not accomplished, we will seek to present it in its entirety here today. And I think also in my presentation with the team would also reflect how precisely because of our own commitment and understanding of the significance of water, we can proudly say we've done well as a nation, as a government, in dealing with what could have been a catastrophic challenge in this country over the last 3 years. We were faced with challenges of water scarcity, but even with the Stats SA and everybody, there's an appreciation that the interventions that were not funded actually made an impact, because there was no new money for both agriculture and ourselves, as well as environmental affairs, in dealing with those interventions. So part of this report will definitely help us to make everybody realize that whilst there may be audits that reflect challenges in terms of what we had to do with the challenges of non-availability of resources, we have been able to deal with those issues. Secondly, Chair, you raised the issue that is quite important to this portfolio committee about the quality and the presentation of your last engagement with the department. It is on those basis that even today you find Sisom Kize here being the acting DG. We have since suspended the DG. We have charged him. His suspension is ending on the 16th of September. And amongst other things, it's about simple things, dereliction of duty, which the details thereof have to do with the failure to comply with what is required in terms of an accounting officer on reporting and even the management and the administration of the department. A team has been put together that is going to deal with that particular issue. We will be meeting again this Friday evening with the team that is preparing to interact with his counterparts, and we hope that we will handle those issues. There were also suspensions that were meted against DDGs, and some of those suspensions have been lifted on the basis of the work that has been done through the investigation by a task team that I had put together which I have since received a report, and out of it we are now going for a full forensic investigation that deals with many of the outstanding issues, including failure to adhere to recommendations or decisions of the Portfolio Committee for Water and Sanitation, as well as the issues that have to do with the responsibilities, including consequence management in the department, and ownership of the work that is being done by our implementing agents. So that is where we are now as the department. And I dare say, Chair, that what you are raising is what has driven our situation with regard to where the accounting officer is today. So with your permission then, Chair, can I then take you through what you had requested us to do in preparation for today's meeting?
Do we have what you have prepared? I'm trying to say that maybe we do not have that presentation.
Thank you, Chair. The submission was made some time back, but what we have done
when is some time back?
Was it in May? It was made in May, but what we have done subsequently...
Which May? After the year? Or before?
Sorry, Chair, if I may, we met this department in May. We tried to meet. It was a total, we had to abandon it. Now they're coming with the same report for May. I'm sorry, but this, we want a fresh report, not an old stale report, and I need to ask whether or not the department has submitted any documentation that they tend to present today to this committee. This smacks of all the unprofessional conduct that arises out of the AG report. Chair, so we've got to be very strict on this, Chair. Sorry to interrupt. Thank you.
No. I was being very diplomatic and saying the presentation that is to be made, we do not have. I know I'm lying.
Chair, when we received the invitation to appear,
which certainly was not in May,
yes.
So anything about May,
yes.
Is totally
it was relevant. Sometime in June 2017.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can I proceed?
Sure.
Yes, it was sometime in June. I can't recall the exact date, and the reference was on, as you said, the business that was not completed and was not satisfactory in terms of the presentations by the department. That is it. So what we are here to do today is to speak, because nothing much has changed, but it is more about presenting in the same vein what has been presented, what was presented at a time when I was not there as the minister. Because I have now been invited to then come and explain some of the issues that could not be explained in May when I was not in the meeting.
No, I hear that, and I think that is fine. That's all I'm saying. Unless if the explanation seeks to say whatever documentation you got in May is actually the reference point.
It's supposed to be, Chair, because remember that the request was on the progress with regard to irregular expenditure of the National Department of Water and Sanitation for the financial year 15-16, and this is what we are presenting. So there wouldn't be any other thing except an explanation that we are now taking the colleagues through.
same copy, I'm not.
I thought we had requested that phones be switched off. Is it a Comrade Minister? Problem of compliance. That's why we're regular expenditure. People don't comply even with switching cellular phones off. Please switch off your cellular phone so that it does not disturb us. Alright, Comrade Kekan.
Chair, I want to get clarity as to, is the minister going to present the entire report as presented in the last meeting, or she's only going to deal with the areas of concerns that were raised in the meeting? Because if she is going to give us the same report, then I seem to be having a problem with that. But if she's going to deal with the areas that we have indicated, I think I would appreciate that.
I would just like it to be clarified, Chair, was that I see there's some sort of administrative work going on in terms of copies from where I'm seated. If I'm going to receive that report now, I'm expected to interrogate it now, I'm going to have a serious problem, Chair. Because my understanding of today was that we are going to be continuing with last time with May's meeting, which was conducted in the form of a SCOPA hearing. And so from where I'm seated, I'm expecting that we're going to be conducting a hearing today. So I would need your guidance in that regard so that we know how we're proceeding moving forward. But I'm finding a confusion in terms of our own set of operating procedures and committee at this
okay.
point.
Okay, all right. Mente, okay, do you hand up?
Chair, what I thought it was going to happen is the very same procedure that we always operate on. As far as I remember, if my notes are very good, is that we had an issue with the implementing agencies that the minister is supposed to talk to, and that list of implementing agencies like your Libele and LTE are supposed to have been provided as to what is the process that she's going to explain to us right now. And there was also outstanding issues on discipline, because the last meeting we had in May, we had a package of letters of discipline that were written just the previous day or a previous 5 days before the hearing. So those were the issues that we wanted, but if ever the issues are just going to be drawn from the perspective of the department and we have no knowledge of, it's going to be very difficult for us. We are more like a portfolio committee come to listen to a prepared presentation, and yet our scope of work is to deal with mismanagement of funds and what has happened to the people that have mismanaged the coffers of the country.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think the way we do things is not going to change, except that having asked the minister to come, I think just like we did with, I think it was correctional services, having escalated to the minister, I think we should afford her the opportunity to talk to us. Clearly, obviously, she will not go through the report line by line in terms of specific transactions, but to give us an overview on key areas in terms of where she is seated as the political head. These are the areas of challenge, and this is how she thinks have been dealt with. And once that is done, then we go back now to members. Professor, are you the first? Or okay, then it's you, Chilwane, and then Hlengwa. Okay, Professor, Hlengwa, and then Chilwane. So we'll deal with it the same way. But having the political head, it is important to get that political overview. To not be a purely administrative blow by blow. So that report we'll get, but she will talk to those key areas that are critical to the department. So I think, Comrade Minister, we could proceed once those copies are being made, and then we can then go into substantive discussions thereafter.
I have no problem with your guidance. I would just like, for our own benefit, to be clarified on this receipt of this report in June or in May, because I don't have it. That's the point I was trying to make earlier on. I don't have a problem with the process you've outlined, but as a matter of principle, I fail to understand why it was sent in June, May.
Okay.
How is it that I'm only receiving it now?
All right. Yeah, I think if comrades can bear with me, I would like us to proceed. But making the point, Comrade Minister, that report was not sent to us. It was not sent. I don't have it. In May or whenever. So what I have is this, the 31st December 2016. Yeah. In May there was no report that was given to us, and even the copy that you gave me is not dated. It's not dated in that copy that I gave to Obi to go and my copies. It's not even signed. So I'm saying that it is not useful as a reference point. One thing for sure, no, we did not receive. That's why I was going through its pages to see if there's anything I'm familiar with in terms of its format. No, we don't have it. We didn't get it.
Thank you very much, Chair. I've just said to Mr. Mkhize, these are the things that you must know, and I really want to formally apologize if that is the case, because I know, as a matter of fact, colleagues will remember that it was a time when I was not... I was off sick, and possibly this would also be one of the real issues that we have to deal with the issues that were related to the work of our accounting officer. It's not my intention to undermine oversight, including accounting to scoffer. Chair, with your permission, we're seeking to respond to all those issues that were in the audit of 2015-2016 financial year.
And those matters primarily are the ones that are related to irregular expenditure, to fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the accruals, as well as related explanations, as well as areas of consequence management and corrective and preventative actions. And I think the Honourable Member who was drawing reference to those issues that have to do with the implementing agencies and the role of the Department in holding the implementing agencies accountable, that is also part of what we are going to be dealing with. Firstly, Chair, with regard to the area of the Giani project, the AG of South Africa only declared the Giani project as irregular. All other expenditures were so declared by the Department of Water and Sanitation in our own interest of good governance and transparency. What we have also been able to pick up and agree with the AG's office is that the AG had not found the emergency appointment process as irregular, but rather that the scope of emergency became irregular. Because remember, the issue was, this was an emergency out of a court judgment prior to even myself becoming the minister in the Department of Water and Sanitation. There were issues around the Giani water scheme that was initially a scheme implemented by the Mopani District Municipality. And with this an inability to effect the implementation of the project, firstly, it was because of the crisis in some of the hospitals in Limpopo. Secondly, kids were sent back home because of no availability of water. And worse, there was money that was allocated to Mopani, and today nothing has been made. Almost 240, more than 240 million on this project. And the court then made a determination that the National Department of Water and Sanitation must then step in. In our stepping in, we then we had to deal with intervening on the basis of it being a crisis, and us also being given timelines by the court. And our explanation on the irregularity with regard to the scope of the emergency, that is where the issue is, because what we did was to appoint in line with the National Water Services Act and allowed also in terms of the South African law, the water board, which is the Lebelle Northern Water Board, that it actually become our implementing agent, and it then went on to appoint the service providers. And just for the record, LTE is not an implementing agent. LTE is a professional service provider. So we appointed Lebelle, we gave Lebelle the responsibility to go and act in accordance with the court judgment. And in that, we were able to then explain the following through you, Chair, that it was necessary to ensure that the crisis is addressed for the reasons that one has raised. Secondly, that the challenges on site required additional intervention that could not have been foreseen when the initial scope was determined due to the collapse of aging infrastructure once connected to new installation. And that relates to the scope, because the understanding was that you must then go and deal with your bulk, regional bulk, and make sure that you connect to what exists in the Mopani's reticulation infrastructure. Upon doing the work, what then transpired was that even that infrastructure that is there, the Mopani's infrastructure, had actually decayed. And remember, that is the infrastructure that was dependent on that initial appointment, where prior to 2014, they were given the grants, the funds, to do that particular project. And the other area is that we would want SCOPA to also understand that precisely because of the nature of the infrastructure expenditure, the department accounts in the 2015-2016 financial year for the expenditure that was initiated as far back as 2008-2009 financial year. And because of the multi-year kind of a spin of this bulk infrastructure implementation, because long-term contracts get awarded to a service provider due to the size and scope of the work. So it is within that long-term contract that this project was actually implemented. We would want SCOPA also to note that the irregular expenditure emanates from the five following things, which is the emergency appointments, the challenges with the municipalities and water boards as implementing agents. And in this regard, the absence of supervision by the department, because over time from 2008, when the department appoints an implementing agent, there was never an arrangement of ensuring that there's compliance and there are terms that are put against implementing agents, and hence they became free agents that could do things without actually being made to comply and act in a responsible manner. So it is those areas that we are now instituting disciplinary action against the senior management and project managers in the department. The other one was on the changes that were done in the course of a project, and that's part of the problem within the department. The changes that were done in the regulations governing supply chain management processes before even going back and seek approval. Because even as you deviate, you also have to go and get approval, not even approval, just notify, for example, National Treasury, that you're going to deviate because of the following reasons. And it is those things that are a reflection on the administration, and it would be in line with what the chair had asked about, what is it that we are doing with all these things that have happened. The other one, chair, are the historical matters. We've got historical matters on our wasteful and irregular expenditure that dates even beyond before 2008, and those had at that point not been properly managed. The last one, chair, is that because of the 2008-2009-11-10-11, there were grants that were allocated particularly through our RBIC processes to municipalities, where we just throw in money and we get satisfied that work has been done, and without actually first verifying the capacity of municipalities. And one of the immediate experiences that the AG has taken us on was that issue of Mopane. But looking at KZN, it was the issue of Umkhanyakude, which we still have to deal with together with the provincial government of KwaZulu-Natal. And in terms of what we are now looking at is to review the issues around water, the Water Act and the Water Services Act, that actually sometimes creates a challenge where grants go directly to the municipalities because they are a Water Services Act, and the power rests with the Systems Act, that they are responsible for reticulation, they get direct grants. But once we step into doing regional bulk infrastructure, we can build a dam, we can put bulk pipes, but if there's no reticulation into households, our communities still believe that we have not delivered. And we then get found wanting by stepping into that space of what you call reticulation, which is the space of a municipality, and hence we then get audited wrongly. And it is those things that we are really trying to look at. In our portfolio committee, we have made suggestions, Chair, and possibly even through yourself, that we should look at the flow of funds on the water infrastructure, because there are different flows of funding and financing, and that when the department deals with bulk infrastructure, in many instances, like in the situation of Kiani, in the situation of Umkhanyakude, and many others, by the way, Chair, we end up actually being audited negatively, precisely because of that inability of local government to plan and connect where you have a dam and all you need is about 6 kilometers of pipe to reticulate and distribute water. And we end up doing those kind of things. So we're looking at that. We have even said we need to, in some of the municipalities that are part of the 27 back to basics municipalities, we be given the responsibility. It is in the areas like Bujanala, Madibeng in the northwest, where the provincial government, ourselves and treasury have agreed that we can step in. So we can then be in a position to protect our back and avoid this going into the future. In 2009-2016, Chair, up to 2016, we reported a cumulative figure of 2.5 billion for irregular expenditure. And in the financial year 2015-2016, of which 1.7 was irregular expenditure solely for 15 and 16 of this 2.5. And it was on the basis of all the other issues that we can actually give a detailed explanation for. Of the 2.5 billion Chair irregular expenditure, 241 million was for goods and services, and 202 billion was for infrastructure projects. And in it, it also included some of the work that predominantly falls within the Giani project. So that is exactly the issue, and hence that issue that one is raising about the challenges we have faced with the Giani project on how we stepped into it and how those that were supposed to be taking full responsibility could not even, as we speak, take over the maintenance. In the period of implementation, Chair, we spent over 400 million doing maintenance that ordinarily is supposed to be done by a municipality. But had we not done that kind of work, we would again have found ourselves losing the infrastructure that has already been invested upon. So that Giani project for me is a good example about the complexities of the entire value chain of implementation of the water infrastructure, but also on how our financing can actually allow scope for abuse, misuse, and failure to account. And I think SCOPA itself has to help us in that regard, because irrespective of the fact that we have delivered water to more than 40 villages, but in terms of accounting, we have done something wrong. So it is that we think we have to really be assisted on, and hence one is presenting herself here today. From that irregular, the Giani project, Chair, as I've said, I've explained where it actually originates from. In 2014, when we then had to act on the basis of that. We will continue, Chair, to engage with the AG. The AG's office has been to Giani. It has also been interacting with us, and I'm sure if you need the details, honorable members, we can even give you the latest on how, together with the AG's office, we are trying to clear these kind of issues. What we did when I Chair, picked up that there were serious problems, we then discussed with the senior management that in as much as we are trying to explain through Lepelle, let me be given an opportunity to check the validity of what is being presented in terms of rents and cents, and hence the task team that was appointed to deal with this particular matter. But also we have Ernst & Young, is it Ernst & Young? We appointed Ernst & Young to do verification and validation independently, so that then we are able to find exactly what has happened with that project in Giani. All I can say, Chair, therefore, is that on Giani, no money was lost and no money is lost. Our communities continue to benefit in most of the wards, and through that we also were able to create a number of not less than 3,400 jobs. On consequence management, Chair, we have revived our financial misconduct committee, which was missing. And the thing, the question that the portfolio, that SCOPA is asking on, what are we doing? This is a committee that was missing in the controls of the department to hold officials accountable. So the Financial Misconduct Committee is part of its brief is to review all matters of financial misconduct and take appropriate disciplinary actions. And hence, even for the 15-16, we are already dealing with those things. For now, what one can indicate, Chair, 92% of those who have also transgressed and their issues have been through that committee, 92% have received final written warnings, and 34% have received written warnings, and then the others are still on verbal and counseling. And we're quite certain, Chair, that we would want to clean our capability in the department, which we had thought with the new DG, things will go well. On the irregular expenditure of the main account, Chairperson, National Treasury Instruction 3 provides that an emergency procurement may occur when there is a serious and unexpected situation. And in terms of the water environment, emergency procurement also includes drought-related projects, which complies with National Treasury, best pipes related to services that comply with National Treasury, as well as major infrastructure, including infrastructure that may harm or have a negative impact on life, health, property, and environment threatening. And it is out of that we have been able to then interact and find one another with the office of the auditor general. And to this end, Chair, we want to present before you that out of the work that was supposed to be an emergency, we're able to provide to 55 villages, and another 13 villages are now being supplied on an interim basis until we commission, which will then bring us to 68 villages that are benefiting. There are boreholes. There's a hospital that had collapsed in terms of water services, and we had to step in. We put 6 boreholes. It's called the Nkensani Hospital. There was a total collapse. Ordinarily, Chair, this is the space, say, public works. It's not even our space. But the courts actually said we must step in there. So we've gone into even Nkensani Hospital, and we had to refurbish that. And we also had to put water tanks, as we were directed, for the reticulation. And I think it is those things that colleagues could understand. We had to put this 10,000 liter water tank for reticulation. And remember, it's not our responsibility. And it would come out as irregular, because ordinarily it's what could have been funded by a local government in that particular area. And in the very space, Chair, of our irregular expenditure, you'll also remember that one of it has to do with 231 million that relates to an ICT contract that was awarded in 2012. An ICT contract that was awarded in 2012, and the department continued accounting for it in the 15-16 financial year. And you can therefore, Chair, see the historical nature of this particular thing. It had to do with a business connection contract that was then awarded in 2012, but it then came when we were dealing with the years that the portfolio committee had asked us to come and deal with. On the main accruals, on the main account, Chair, we reported accruals and payables of 727 million in 15-16 financial year. 500 million of those accruals of which 457 is for infrastructure projects and 43 million is for goods and services. The issue that we are quite concerned and we agree with the portfolio with Scopa on, that these are the things that we need to be handling, were that in the audit period, the accruals of 500 million related to cases where goods and services were received, but there were no invoices that were provided. And it is that actually made this matter an issue for us to look at. And the 227 million payables, of which 219 million is for infrastructure projects and 8 million is for goods and services. This relates to cases where invoices have been received but were not yet paid by March 2017. So the invoices were in the department but there was no payment by March. By March 2017. All such accruals and payables, Chair, of 727 million have since been paid in the 2016 and 2017 financial year. Again, in line with multi-year kind of projects that go beyond an individual financial year. It should also be noted that of the 500 million that has also been registered, we could not actually pay as invoices had not yet been received from service providers. There was therefore no deliberate attempt by the department to withhold payment to avoid overspending, as was alleged in the media. Of the payables of the 227 million of the invoices that we received, based on the analysis in the annual report, Chair, on page 289 of the annual report, $190 million of these invoices were still within the 30 days and not yet due for payment. Such invoices were mainly received just before the department closed its books for year-end processes and were paid within the 30 days in the financial year 2016-2017. Out of those accruals, only 36 million was relating to invoices received for a period over 30 days. If this amount was paid in the 2015-2016 financial year, we would still not overspend on our budget, as there was a reported underspending by the department of 189 million. So there was that 189 million underspending, but we also had this 36 million of the receipts that were received when the books were closed. So had we were expected to do any payment, that would have actually been done. Following the engagements with National Treasury, we then agreed on the following arrangement.
Sorry, Chair. My apologies, my mistake. What report are you working from? Because we've just received this and you're not talking to us. Is this from your own notes? Okay. Chair, maybe you can assist. Are we going to get this?
And following and following
during the engagement with National Treasury, we looked at the following issues, Chair, particularly on the water trading entity, which is something that I think in my last visit to this portfolio committee, the committee raised the concern of how does a department have two CFOs? Because what was said was the water trading entity was actually doing its own accounting independent of the department, of the main account. We then interacted with National Treasury, and we indicated to them on what we are going to be doing, working together with them on the overdraft by the water trading entity, that by the end of June 2017, we'll reduce the overdraft by 200 million, and at the end of March 2018, by 748 million, and the remainder will then be eliminated. The water trading entity then also got support from Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs Department and Provisional Treasury, and this resulted in municipalities making an undertaking to sign payment arrangements. However, most of those municipalities that signed the payment arrangements are not honoring the agreement. The entire debt owed to the department by municipalities is how much? 7 billion rand is owed by municipalities to the department. But with regard to what the law requires, we will not be in a position to switch off water supply to any municipality, even if they owe us this amount. And many of our own municipalities have actually indicated their own challenges of honoring their debts, and hence now, COCTA, ourselves, National Treasury, and MISA in COCTA are trying to recover that 7 billion that is owed to WTE. And I think the mistake, as I'm saying, Chair, about the separation that has been there between water trading entity and the department was that water trading entity always planned on the basis that they've got 7 billion that is coming, and then assume that that money will be recovered and then work on their annual budget on those basis, which was wrong. And it is that we are now trying to sort out, to say, take out this 7 billion owed by municipalities. Let's then interact with National Treasury so that they can then appreciate the pressure that is there with regard to us dealing with these issues. So we are now in the process of looking at these issues. The challenge with our water situation is different from Eskom, because the pricing strategy and the policies do not give us permission for the restriction or reducing the flow of water due to non-payment. So in as much as municipalities don't pay, we are obliged to continue dealing with this. Consequently, the normal credit control procedure for defaulting water users had to be looked at, including the appointment of a service provider to collect the debt. We are also investigating the validity of the appointment of that debt collector, but also the money, the expenditure between the water trading entity and the service provider, because my understanding is that if you appoint a debt collector, you can't actually pay a debt collector. The payment must be on the basis of the money collected. So there is that investigation, because that is one of the things that we have been worried about, and it was raised in the portfolio committee. It was raised by the AG as a query. It has been raised, I think, even in the... I wasn't here in June. So in May, June. So I think the portfolio committee and National Treasury and the AG. So we are dealing with that, and hence the need to now go forensic in looking at those issues of whether there was front-loading to the service provider and how the service provider was appointed, and whether the money that has already been paid is... is actually supposed to be the money that is due to the service provider on the basis of the debt that the service provider has collected. The the implementing agents, we are now working with the acting DG. We have put together a team of DBSA, ourselves, COCTA, and National Treasury to help us also look at issues that are related to project management and financial control in the department. We are also going to put together a project management capacity in the department, because the biggest side of the department that has to do with implementation of projects has been found wanting. The third one, it's the legality of the contracts we enter. Because what has been a challenge is, once a directive has gone out, there's no memorandum of understanding signed between the department and the implementing agents. And part of what the Honorable Member said, what is it that we are doing? We are actually dealing with that. We have formally even raised issues with the board to put their CEs to terms on their failure to cooperate with the AG and on their failure to also handle their own businesses properly. And in conclusion, Chair, I do want to indicate that some of the things, let me make my own undertaking, some of the things on the progress that we have now made on the day-to-day or continuous engagement with the AG, even not on the audit period, but even on the issues that are historical, there's been a lot of progress. The relationship is becoming better with the office of the AG, and our intention, as I'm saying, is to also clear some of the things that have been a challenge and a misunderstanding. There are investigations, we're told, that are done by the SIU, and we have been cooperating with the Special Investigating Unit. Some of them are historical, we inherited them, would wish to see action emanating out of that, including those that are said to have happened during our term of office. There has been issues raised by the Public Protector, and those issues are still with the Public Protector. Only one issue that was in front of the Public Protector got actually closed, which had to do with the Minister, together with the issues that are related to the Lesotho Highlands project. On the other issues, the Public Protector has shown an interest to investigate Yani and so on. And as I'm saying, where I'm seated, I'm with all our implementing agents. The worst of our implementing agents in terms of responsible management is Lepelle, and we have raised it formally with the chairperson of the board and the board, including the CE himself. At some point, I said to him, we're going to have to deal with you within a period of 2 weeks. And because we had found that things were not done adequately. The other water board is the water board of Amatola, where there were issues, labor disputes, Chair, that were hampering the efficiency of that water board. It's one of our small boards that has been stable and effective, but it got compromised by the CE abdicating responsibility to become a strategic leader of the board. A report has been handed over to the water board, and the water board is acting on those issues, including laid charges against the CE and those that are in the finances of Amatola. The other boards, I think they are doing well. There's a better understanding and responsibility from management. So where we are now, one can bravely say our own concern is, and our own admission is, that Lepelle can do better in terms of administration. And on the Kiane issue, had it not been because of the abdication of responsibility in the department and the lack of cooperation from the administration, from the management of Kiane, this matter would not be where it is. Thanks, Chair.
All right. Thanks, Comrade Minister. We allowed you to talk to us because we had called you to talk to us. Give us a sense, as you know, as the political head, of what the issues are and where they are. Well, of course, you'll appreciate that as a committee, we deal with what kills the patient. The issues about how we move forward and where we might be tomorrow. I think Comrade Johnson is here. That's his area of operation. Welcome, Comrade Chair. Right, let me... I want to give Honorable Patterson to deal with the issues that relate to the irregular expenditure and there's something he wants. Yeah.
Chair, in saying I agree with you with how you outlined how we would continue, I done so on the basis that whatever was going to be presented was going to find its way to us during the presentation. Now, this letter here, quote unquote, Chair, I'm trying to balance what the minister was saying and this. Was there now a separate presentation? What do we do with this? Chair, can we just first clean up the approach and what do we do what has been presented? Because particularly the latter part of what the minister was presenting does not appear here. So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with this or whether I'm still supposed to another presentation that's going to be made. Or do we just say, no, call my local back present and it's just an operation alapan. I just need clarity over actually. It's why I raised the concern initially. And I raised this not sending the minister's apology, but in terms of operation now, I'm not sure how do we go on. Because what the minister was presenting in this don't correlate.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. I think in your case, for example, you are supposed to deal with the accruals, payables and stuff. And she spoke to accruals and payables. If what she presented does not clear the issues that you came with a question mark on, I would expect you to pursue those issues. But if there was anything that was cleared in terms of what you had prepared, well, you leave that out. I hear what you're saying, because if there's a presentation and the issues being spoken to, we need to be able to have a copy and you know, to be able to refer to it. But I would want us to proceed if.
I really don't want to have a, I want to respect the rulings of the chair, but I think there must be a reflection of my own frustration. We're dealing with grave figures here. I think the presentation, so that I can now clanganisa these two things. That's what I'm saying, Chair. We were told what the presentation was sent. That's what I gripe here me love. Where's the presentation? That's all I'm asking, Chair. So that I can be able to continue. Unless I'm told what this is it, as you pointed out, unsigned, undated. So yeah, I'm not being difficult at all. But I just...
But
it's fine, Chair.
I hear you. I would plead that let us proceed, because the issues that we must deal with are issues that we had prepared ourselves. So the presentation, that's why I'm saying if it talks to the issues that you had prepared, it's fine. But if it doesn't, then continue with what you had prepared. Tim?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to echo my colleague, Honourable Klengwa's sentiments. I'm not going to go on with it, and I hope the Minister is listening, but it is completely unprofessional to come here without a printed report, without providing us advance notice and view of a printed report. Every other department does it, and I don't see why the Department of Water and Sanitation should be any different. The fundamental issue that we have is that we received a report in May of this year a half report. We don't know if this is the same report or based on the same figures. Minister, you've given us absolutely no clarity in that regard. But be that as it may, let us continue. Minister, just to start off with, are you familiar with the wording of the preamble of Chapter 1 of the Water Act? Particularly the last sentence. Yes, I'd like you to answer. Are you familiar with the wording?
I've not memorized the Water Act.
Okay, so you're not familiar with the wording that says that the minister is ultimately responsible for the use, allocation, protection and access to water. You're not familiar with that incredibly important instruction to you as minister, which makes you the upper guardian of all water in the country. You're not aware of that.
I know what the Water Act says, including those words you are reading, because you also don't, you would appreciate, I'm as yet to come against anyone who can memorize an entire piece of act. I know the responsibilities, and it is precisely because of that that we ended up doing what we did in Giyane. We did that in Giyane, guided exactly by what I said, if you are listening attentively, Honorable Member, about the responsibility that went beyond the mandate of the department, because there are roles and responsibilities that unfortunately interferes with this process. And hence, Honorable Member, there is a review of the Water Services Act and the Water Act, so that then you do not have a minister who may actually be seen to have acted irresponsibly by taking water from the bulk infrastructure to somebody's village and to somebody's household. And that is exactly where the challenges are.
All right. Okay, Chair, thank you for that long meandering. I did ask you, Minister, if you knew what the wording was, and you said you did not, you had not memorized that. So I gave you an opportunity to tell us. It was only when I pointed it out to you that you came back quite vehemently. But anyway, Minister, I did listen attentively to what you said. When you said it's not your responsibility to build the dam and then make sure the reticulation gets to the water. Now, Minister, the niceties of it may be lost on you. But the person living in an informal settlement that doesn't have a standpipe next to the Jazini Dam, but they can see the pipes lying over there, they don't care whether or not it's the municipality who should have put those pipes in. You're the upper guardian of all water, and the Act says that you're responsible for use, allocation, protection, and the most important word, access. I just wanted to dwell on that in the beginning of this hearing. We need to be serious about what our responsibility is. And I know it's very tempting to change the Act to take responsibility away from the Minister, to pass the buck somewhere else. But the bottom line is that, unfortunately, in terms of the current legislation, you, ma'am, are responsible. And we can't get away from that.
You are 100% correct, but it is our own laws in this Republic of South Africa made by you legislators, policymakers, that say something different about the allocation of money, including the identification of who becomes a water service authority. And that word called service is the one then that then deals with these issues. And it is only at that time when we have these kind of challenges, and I'm happy that you raised in Josina, I would have thought that you will then say, I understand my responsibility better. Just a week, not even a week, this past weekend, we were in Josini to deal with this kind of an issue, intervening throughout the value chain of water supply by making sure that we have a waterworks and we put new reservoirs and we help to build capacity in the Josini municipality and working more important, not with the Josini municipality, the Umkhanyakude district municipality, but understanding that our primary target is to relieve the people of Josini with the scares that they are faced with, because for them, they don't know who is being given money. And I would then add this portfolio committee, including yourself, Honorable Member, to then deal and cooperate with us as we review the Water Services Act and the Water Act, so that then you do not have direct grants moving from nation. We do not even have a say, precisely because of the arrangement
that are there in this country, where the PFMA will allow grants going directly from National Treasury to a municipality. I've raised the story of Mopane, that ordinarily we would not have been in Kiani. It is a court decision that said, step in there because money was sent in, nothing was done. So part of what we are now looking at is the review. We hope that by next year, those two acts would have been changed. But I urge members of parliament to also look at the Systems Act on how do you define and decide on who becomes a water service authority. Because then the Minister of Water and Sanitation would then be found having spent money irregular by going in a space where money has already been allocated. Part of our problems are similar to those of housing, where you deal with these kind of challenges.
Chair, thank you. I actually wanted to make that point at the beginning of the questioning, but let's move on. Chair, okay, we're in a bit of an uncomfortable situation here where we don't have a presentation on what the Minister said, so I'm going to have to work through whatever documents we have. And maybe the Minister is not going to be able to answer these questions, but let's get into my area of focus. Comrade Chulwani is going to be handling regular expenditure, but I'm looking at I'm going to look at consequence management, and I'm going to look at fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Minister, to you or any of your persons who can assist you there, the 87 million rand in fruitless and wasteful expenditure has got a lot to do with double invoicing or triple invoicing. Can you explain that? Can you or your CFO explain how that happened?
Thank you very much, Chair. The fruitless the double payments, which is viewed as fruitless expenditure, happened at our implementing agent level, and these are historical happenings that were happening before 2015-2016. Honourable members, I need to register that in 2015-16 financial year, we did a thorough investigation of all fruitless, irregular, and our commitments dating back to 2008-2009. Historically, this department were consistently receiving qualifications due to the incompleteness of those expenditure, your fruitless and your irregular expenditure. So upon disclosing this in 2015-16 financial year, after doing a thorough investigation on it, then subsequent to that, with our risk unit doing an investigation on thereof, then of that, where there were employees within the department, we have taken consequence management, and there is a proof of what we have done in relation to that. And where there is duplicate payments to our implementing agents, we are saying the money is not lost, it's still within the water family, and we have raised the receivable or debts within the department, and we are recovering those monies from our implementing agents.
All right. Okay. Who paid the implementing agents? Did they pay themselves? How did the department pay twice?
Yeah, it is possible, Chair, if there is no regular check, if there is no adequate check within the system of internal control, is not robust enough.
Okay, now we get into the truth of the matter. So you said it was the implementing agents, and that's, you know, it seems to be if I go through the AG's report, there seems to be a lot of this buck shifting in your department. So it was the implementing agents, those evil people. But somebody in your department paid them twice or three times. Who are those people? And I mean, I would like their names. What's been done against them? And where are we with that? And have any court proceedings started to get the money back? 87 million rands worth. I'm sure everybody in the room here would like a piece of 87 million. It's a lot of money. We get desensitized in South Africa, Chair. because you hear about billion this and billion that, we forget that 87 million rand is a substantial amount of money. So can you give us details of who in your department allowed the payment twice or three times?
Thank you, Chair. As I've indicated, our risk management unit has done a thorough investigation on that, and the money is being recovered, and disciplinary process has been taken against
those
officials.
That's not detail. I asked for detail. Give me detail, please. Detail. Tell me, 87 million. You know, you must understand, you came here with nothing. Okay? You've walked into this room with no presentation on the 87 million. You've given me, well, from our own figures, our own, what we've gleaned from our own reports that we've looked at, we've worked this out. You've come here with nothing. So I'm now asking you to give me a list of exactly who was involved in 87 million rands worth and what's being done. Please don't tell me we've investigated and action's being taken. That's not the detail I want.
Through you, Chair, we'll make the list available. We do have the list of all the individuals. But
why don't you have it today?
Sorry?
Why don't you have it today? Why don't you have the detail that we wanted today?
No, we do have it. That's what I'm saying. We will make it available through the Chair.
Did you know the scope of the hearing today? Did you know we were discussing 2015, 2016? Did you know that? Chair, these are fair questions. Today was about 2015, 16. You're a CFO. I assume you know what's in the, and an acting DG now. Heaven help us. You knew we were discussing this report today, this report. Alright? You would have received a letter from Scopa, and that letter I'm sure would have indicated, because it goes to all the others, that we'd be looking at irregular expenditure, accruals, fruitless and wasteful. And you don't come here, well, first of all, you dishonor us and disrespect us by not bringing data for us, okay? And now you say, I'll send you a list. I'm sorry, that's unacceptable. If you've got it, can you phone a colleague now and get the information and give it to us now? Or would you like to push that back to someone else?
Can I come in, Chair? Yes. No, I want to assure you, from what I have been doing together with the with the management of the department, I do have the names. I do have the names in what I have been following, working together with the with the department. And I can promise you, Chair, before the end of the day, or before the end of this sitting, I can give you all those names. The acting DG may not have the names, but in my own file where I deal with management on following the issues, there are names of every single individual where disciplinary action has been taken.
Minister, with the risk of crossing swords with you, I take no comfort in your assurance. Okay, you may give it to the Chair now then, thank you. More disrespect, why didn't you give it to us before? Chair, Minister, you may think that you came to see a portfolio committee this morning. This is a different environment. Here we ask hard questions and we need answers. Okay, it's a tough place, I do apologize for that. But all of my colleagues right along the line, you will ask the same severity of questions. This is Scopa, this is what we do. So, is there no possibility of getting that list today? Is that what we're saying?
Chair, through you, I think what I said, and as I had indicated, I was invited to come in and give explanation on the issues, and I did. But as I'm indicating now, is that I have a file that I generate to follow on all the audit issues, and in it, I do have a report of all the names. In fact, I would say if there was time, one would actually go through all of them. But I can immediately forward a list to the chairperson of the portfolio committee. But I also don't understand because the consultation with the Scopa was that we did not have to come in and bring additional information, and hence Sfiso says they felt it was not necessary. The acting DG said they felt it was not necessary. But with me, I have everything that has to do with what you were not comfortable with in the last appearance of the portfolio of the Department of Water and Sanitation. But the long and short of it, as I've said, I do appreciate the tough issues in SCOPA as they are tough also in the portfolio committee. And my intention coming here was to actually come and clarify my own situation as I was asked by the chair, and I can be in a position to then undertake to give you the list and take all the records that I use to interact with the department on these matters.
You know, Minister, and I appreciate that, and I must say I respect my elders. I was taught that by my parents, and I see you as my elder. But I'm talking to your CFO because he is the person responsible. You are throwing yourself into the fire here, and you're stepping in to protect him. But unfortunately, ma'am, what you're giving us is just words. We're not getting details and information on the paper. So until you can actually provide us with that list and provide us with what's happening, I think we should just move on and just regard it as another failure by your department. Right, let's go to consequence management. The last time you appeared before us, we were honored with receiving a scanned copy of your disciplinary record. It would have been nice to receive a copy that we could go through, that I didn't have to turn my computer sideways to look at it. Would have been nice. But once again, we're used to the disrespect from your department. So may I please speak, I don't know if you got the information on this, and once again, if you want to step into the breach, you're welcome to, but your risk management official here assisted me last time. So I'd like to know, zero dismissals. That's where we currently are. In terms of your document which you gave us today, we're still on zero dismissals. Is that right? Has anything changed in that regard? I'm just trying to get a status update. Because it's interesting that in May, which was, how many months ago is that now? That's about 3 months, eh? Or almost 4 months ago. So let's just focus on this. So in May, we had zero dismissals. On August the 22nd, we've still got zero dismissals. So in 4 months, no movement. I'm assuming, you see, this is assuming that this report was compiled in the last day or two, or whether you've just dragged this out to throw it at us today, and it hasn't been updated. Then in May, we had three suspensions. Has that been updated? Let's start there. I don't know who's going to answer these questions. Minister, are you going to help us, or is your risk management official, I forget his name, is he going to assist?
I'll get Chris to respond.
Thank you, Chairperson. The disciplinary inquiries, you're correct, there's no one has been dismissed. Some of the inquiries is still ongoing.
No, we'll get to that. Let me work through it. So, just work with it. Suspension, still three. Or is that now four now with the DG?
Yes, nothing has changed.
Okay, that was quite a long pause to give me a very simple answer.
No. That's not the correct answer.
It can't be the correct answer. Because if it was three then, it surely must be four now if you've just suspended the DG. Three plus one is four. That helps when you're dealing with financial issues.
Chairperson, the suspension of the DG is not directly related to the irregular expenditure that we are busy with. So it's not added to this.
Okay, that's a very, very... Okay, well, let's get into that. Why has the DG been suspended?
Let me get into that one and commit to myself. amongst other things are issues of accounting to Parliament and dereliction of duty in terms of administration and failure to comply with the responsibilities of an accounting officer on matters related to implementation of the APP, and fourthly it is related to failure to process and deal with the administration of the department. And now that the matter is before a panel that is dealing with the discipline of and the charges against the DG chair, I would wish to end at that point, because we are now in the process where there is a preparation, a final preparation this coming Friday, then to start the hearing.
Okay, Chair. All right. Final written warning, still 35. Are we still 35, final written warnings?
Chairperson, it is increased.
Okay, hang on a second. This year from May says 35. Okay? This here, which the minister gave us this morning, says 35. But it's increased. When did it increase? Is this report, can give me your clarity, is this from May or is this from now? It's from May.
Yes, that's the
So. Oh, this is the undated one. So, Minister, you gave us old information this morning. About half of your speech this morning was old information.
We were called to come and deal with issues that could not be resolved at the time when I was not there. And my understanding was that we will then act on the basis of the submissions that were presented then, and nothing new. And that is the understanding that I had. Because if there are new developments from that time until now, then that would have been something else. Because remember, the committee sent the department back. And after sending the department back, then the committee requested that the minister should come. And that's why we are here, to deal with those issues that were not resolved.
Right, thank you, Ms. All right, okay. So how many final written warnings are we on now? Do you have that at your fingertips?
Yes, Chairperson. The final written warnings are 92. The verbal warnings is 2. That no change from...
verbal warnings is still 2. 12. Written warnings, how many written warnings do we
written
have?
Written warnings is 34.
34. So that's gone down from 107. How did that happen?
The written warnings is 34. The final written warnings
is 92. You know that in this report, which was given to us now, yes. It's 107. How did it go down to 34? Did you write off about...
must have been combined. Then the verbal was the 2, and the counselling was the 5, in case it ended went for counselling.
This is indicative of your department. Here we go. A report you gave us this morning. The minister was working with it. So, and the minister has just acknowledged that it's from May. Okay? Fair enough, Minister. I don't know what the terms of reference given to you by the chair, but you say it's from May. Now your risk management man is telling us that from 35, final written warnings has jumped to 92. That gives us, you know, we're happy about that. We'd like to see more. But then he tells us that written warnings have dropped from 107 to 34. Did you write off 73 written warnings? And then verbal warnings have dropped from 12 to 2. Did you withdraw your statement to get from 12 to 2? It's this level of confusion that puts your department where it is, Minister.
No, Chairperson, I acknowledge from the 100, and it is 107, it's not 35. I made a mistake here. But there's nothing that has been cancelled. We cannot cancel a written warning.
Oh, now I know that.
So the written warnings that have been issued will remain.
So why did you say that?
The 35?
Yes.
Maybe I just confused myself here with the figures, but they cannot be cancelled. Once they've issued, they are issued.
I'm really not finding any comfort here. It reminds me of a song. All right. No, I'm not going to sing.
Counseling? Where is that?
Counseling is still the same chairperson. It was people in KZN.
Okay, what's your figure?
5.
Oh, well done. Okay. All right. How many people have retired? I'm just checking.
I'll just check in the... it's not 22 chairperson.
That's gone up. Okay, see, that's fair. I mean, more people can retire. Okay. Now, taking no disciplinary action, has that increased from 125 or is it still 125?
In fact, Chairperson, we have the CFOWT did take disciplinary action on those instances. Those matters were reviewed. It was in the WTE. It related to AutoPack, where there were cell phones that were ported from one system to another. So they... disciplinary action was taken or is in the process of being taken, as well as the other was MTN, where they were porting from cell phones to MTN. So in that instance, the CFO is in the process of taking action. So the 125, the way we said there was not going to be, is currently in process, they're taking disciplinary action.
All 125?
All of them, James.
All of them?
All of them.
So there's going to be some action taken, or you currently investigate?
The investigations are done. It's now the process of taking them through the disciplinary processes that is unfolding.
Okay, now here's something pretty critical. In May, you told us there were 141 under review, and we agreed that that meant being investigated. Okay? Where are we with that?
The Chairperson, as I said, all the investigations have been completed. All these matters are now in the process of being subjected to disciplinary processes. For instance, we've got, I think, I don't want to mislead, but in Limpopo, we've got a large number of disciplinary inquiries taking place. So from the ones that we've done, they are all being subjected to disciplinary processes.
Is that in here? Is that in this document? Do we have that? You must understand, this committee, and I'm sure anybody watching, we don't really trust anything you say, frankly, because you mix up your numbers all the time and that sort of thing. So 141 plus 125, can you give us details of those 266 matters that you're dealing with? Where are the details of that? Is that in this document that we've been laid on table this morning, or do you have that somewhere else?
Chairperson, I have this track sheet that I use. So the details is here, with the people's names, as well as the date of the incident. So it is here. I can provide.
Okay. Can you provide that to us? All right. Chair, it's unfortunate we didn't have that before, but, you know, we won't publish names on this. I'm sure this is being televised, so we're not going to do that. But we certainly would like to do it. The whole idea is consequence. We need to see consequence for people's maladministration. Right. So, and then what about the $87 million again? When are we going to get that? When are we going to get the details of the people who have worked with the implementing agents to double invoice? And as a follow-up question, has any of that money been recovered? Any of the $87 million recovered?
Yes, we are recovering the money, but they will make the detailed spreadsheet of it before end of business today.
Okay, great. Right, let's now go to the report. And if we go to page 197. I just want to take you through a couple of points here. Minister, I don't know if you can comment on this. I'm going to pose this, Minister. Are you with me, ma'am? Page 197.23. It's strategic planning and performance. Okay. This is where the AG sets out non-compliance with legislation, all right? And
just to take you quickly through it, under 23 it says effective, efficient and transparent system of risk management were not followed, and it specifies which section of the PFMA. And then under financial statements, that they were not presented in the correct format. That's point 24. And then expenditure management, 1.7 billion rand in irregular expenditure, and it specifies the PFMA and the Treasury regulations. And if you go over the page to point 27, it refers again to irregular expenditure, and then fruitless and wasteful expenditure under point 28. We're now on page 198. And then point 29, 30 and 31 refer to procurement. So let's just, if we go back, point 23 through to point 28, who's responsible for that? Who is the person responsible for failure in your department in those areas? Before we get to procurement.
In terms of section 38 of the PFMA, is the accounting officer who's responsible for that?
So the suspended accounting officer, these are the charges against that suspended accounting officer?
No, not necessarily.
Ah, okay. So who's being charged? Okay, let's go specifically. Points 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. Who is being taken to task in your department for failure in those areas, which the AG has pointed out?
Obviously,
person or persons?
Obviously, the accounting officer was there at the time, is no longer in the department, but senior managers who were there, action has been taken against those managers.
Okay, once again, I don't want to disrespect anybody, but can you provide us proof of that?
How many are these senior managers against whom action has been taken in relation to that question?
Yes, there were three senior managers where action had been taken against them.
What about yourself? You signed off on these reports.
I joined the department towards the end of 2015-16 financial year. Obviously, most of the activity that happened there, it was prior my time in the department.
Okay, so we're going to see a great improvement. So what action is being taken against these senior managers? I mean, they've presided over fruitless and wasteful expenditure of 87 million. They've presided over 1.7 billion rands worth of irregular expenditure. Are they going to jail? What's being done to these senior managers? Or are they going to another department in the revolving door policy of government?
Absolutely not. No revolving door. One is that Mr. Mkhize assumed responsibility after action has been taken against the former chief financial officer. That's number one. Secondly, you have, again, because of the explanation that I have made, you have the current serving senior management managers, the deputy director general, who are still in the service, who had actually... we're overseeing this responsibility, and those are the ones that we're talking about.
What is being done to them? Can we just get to that, please? What is being done to the senior managers?
As I have said, we are now instituting a forensic investigation on some of the issues. Secondly, there are disciplinary actions that are being instituted, not only to senior managers, but also to those that are working on individual projects, including from our own implementing agents, as I've said, now post 2015-2016.
Okay, clearly I'm not going to pin you down with that sort of detail now, but how many senior managers? Let's get that out there, because we'll record that, and this is not the last time we're going to engage. So how many senior managers are going to be taken to account in terms of sections 23 to 28 of the AG report? How many?
As we speak now, two of our senior managers who were directly involved, as well as the chief financial officer, are the ones who are affected.
This chief financial officer?
No, the then chief financial officer.
The then chief financial officer. Where is the then chief financial officer?
The then chief financial officer is in the department, and she is also going to be affected by the forensic investigation that is taking place, as well as the recommendations that are contained in the investigation that has been meted.
When did Mr. Mkhize start? Mr. Mkhize, when did you start?
I came in November 2015.
November 2015?
Yes.
Okay, so the financial year of 2015 ended in April 2016, or March 2016. So how were you not involved in this? 2015-16, it sounds like you were there at this time. And the follow-up question to that to you, Minister, is these two people and another one, very vaguely you're telling us, why is it taking us so long to act against them? This report came out in November last year. It's almost
September.
September now.
November last year.
September last year. It's a year. Why have you taken no action against people? I mean, Minister, I don't want to disrespect you. I'm sure you read these reports. And I'm sure this is not the first time you've seen these, and surely you would be. You seem very committed to fixing things. Surely you were horrified to see this and take immediate action. Surely, I'm assuming.
The least of the good you find in this report was when Sfiso came in. Because at that time, we were always finding serious challenges in terms of preparing our financials. And I dare say, with the limited time that he found himself and working together with the team in the department, all that was done, a bit of it, during that last period towards the end of the financial year, came through the coming in of the chief financial officer. Secondly, I want to also indicate that one of the unfortunate things are the very processes of consequence management in the public service. Because you definitely have to give people a chance to explain themselves and then go back and deal with those issues. And as I'm saying, this is work that is ongoing until we are able to resolve that. If one was able to deal with the issues overnight, that could have been done. But we are really doing our utmost best, and hence the forensic investigations, the request to get National Treasury to help on dealing with these issues and many other interventions.
Minister, thank you. Minister, I've been in the labour environment and I've been in the forensic investigation environment. I know how long these things take. It's false equivalency to equivocate overnight to a year. Completely. The bottom line is nothing has happened in your department since the publication of this report, because you cannot give us any detail on it. So that's going to be after another thing we're going to add to the list of stuff we need. You cannot appear here and say we have taken action against I'm not talking about people's names on television, that's fine. But you can't say we've taken action against these managers and this is what's happening and this is where we are. A year on, Minister. It's not acceptable.
I have indicated that we have instituted an investigation. We are dealing with the disciplinary processes and some of the issues that have to do with this financial year, the year that we are dealing with, have to do with the charges that are there against the senior managers. I do acknowledge that it might have taken long, but what we were committed to is to make sure that action does get taken.
Okay. The previous CFO, why did the previous CFO leave?
The previous CFO had to be removed precisely because of her inability to just put together the finances of the department, abdicating the responsibility, and amongst other things, not helping us to deal with those issues in a manner that would have actually pleased the AG. And it was in the report of the concerns that had come before the department, raised not only by the AG, including National Treasurer.
Minister, when did the reports of that previous CFO's misdeeds or inability come to your attention?
They came to my attention almost at the end of the time when there was the conclusion of the audit. And
Which audit, Minister?
The audit of this financial, of the year that we are dealing with.
So around about September last year?
Not September last year, around about the previous year. There were indications, and then last year around March up to September, then there were issues that were raised, and that's why at that time the new CFO had, the previous CFO had already been removed and taken to go and assist in
I'm just trying to establish, when did you become aware of the problem and how long did it take to get rid of that CFO?
The responsibilities of the inabilities that the CFO has shown and the action, they happened around late 2015, beginning of 2016.
And how long, and when did you remove that CFO? Because, so you were two CFOs at the time, is that right?
She had to move, and that's why we then had to bring in Mr. Mkhize after...
But Mr. Mkhize told us he started in 2015.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. In 2015, that's when we picked up, when Mr. Bazza was the acting chair, or the acting DG of the department, that there were serious challenges. And then we had Margaret Dederitz who came in, and we then had to deal with the issue of the CFO in 2015.
Okay, now I'm just trying to get... So, how long did you take, let's get back to that, how long did you take to remove that CFO once you found out there was a problem?
Part of the responsibility of...
How many months?
Part of the responsibility of the DG, of the accounting officer, was to deal with those kind of issues, and she then made that recommendation, and it was brought to my attention. I'm not sure of the actual day, but the actual month.
Minister, I'm just trying to get an idea. You became aware of a problem at sort of the end of 2015, early 2016. We've agreed on that. How long did it take to get rid of that CFO? How many months was it?
Up until at the time when we had to bring in Mr. Mkhize to be...
And Mr. Mkhize, we came in when? You said late 2015.
November
2015. Mm. So you came in before CFO was dismissed.
She was removed.
But you just said up until when we had to bring Mr. Mkhize in.
She lived, she was with us, and she had to be removed before July of 2015.
Before, I'm very confused now. So she got, you became aware of this, let's just recap.
Around March.
You became aware of this late 2015, early 2016.
Of the late financial year of 2015, when we had...
Okay, so that would be March.
Yes. And then she then moved, she got moved around July.
So it took about 3 months to remove her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let's go take that and come right back to where we are and ask, in terms of points 23 to 28 in the annual report, why has it taken a year? If it took you 3 months to get rid of that person, why has it taken a year to sort out these senior managers? What's going on?
I think it has to do with two critical issues that we had to go and dig deeper. And one of the things we found was that there were problems with the system. Two, there were issues around failure to make sure that there are relationships that make the implementing agents accountable. Thirdly, there were institutional arrangements issues. And the fourth thing was then the abdication of the responsibility by the program managers, who are your own senior managers.
All right, but you're going to give us a full briefing as to who's being disciplined in terms of those reports.
Yeah.
Those issues I've raised. Okay. What has happened to the previous CFO? Where is she now?
She is in the department, and we are acting on her capacity, because part of what we have also sought was the assistance and advice from the Public Service Commission on her qualifications and capacity to deal with issues of finance. She had also, through the previous DG, she was asked to go and assist in the Overberg Water Board.
So what you're saying is there is a revolving door policy?
No, the Water Board is not another department. The Water Board is our agent. So
okay,
she was still within the Water Board.
You take failed employees and you don't cast them off.
Ideally,
use them somewhere else.
Ideally, we would have said your responsibility is done overnight, but we had to follow the law, and hence we had to remove her from the responsibility and get somebody who could come in and interview.
Could you not fire her? Was that the problem? Were your systems so bad that you couldn't actually fire her?
It's not the systems that are bad. It's the law that says you can't just summarily dismiss a person.
No, no, no.
You have to follow
After a process.
Once the process...
I told you I was in labor. I understand this.
Yes, I've
after
been
a
trade unionist as well.
Of course, yeah.
Yes.
So after a process...
Yes, after a process.
Yes. Could
that's
you not
when
dismiss her?
Yes, you can then dismiss a person.
And once again, how long is the process?
Part of the issues, that's why I'm saying we even had to, through you, Chair, because of these challenges, go to the Public Service Commission and say, please check for us. What kind of capacity do we have in the four deputy directors general of the department? The Public Service Commission did a report. And because these are people who are appointed through cabinet, you then had to again look at how best you can deal with these issues, and in dealing with them, hence one of the immediate things was to say, as we deal with her fitness to perform, let's rather remove her, put her in another space, because she has been appointed for a particular position. If we could have said, thank you very much, you leave, we would have also given her a golden handshake, which is something that one has been very reluctant to do. You rather have her and deal with the issues, just as we are doing with everybody else.
Okay, how did she do at Overberg Water Board?
She did this month. Western, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you removed her as CFO, she went to Overberg, she did a terrible job, and she's back in the department
yes.
now. And you're telling me there's no revolving door policy, honestly?
She's not back in the department doing the same job. The issue is on
a... Oh, okay. So the job doesn't matter, but you...
No, no.
So it's employment for life.
If I may finish... Life. No, it's adherence with the laws that you understand as a labor lawyer, that we can't immediately just say, your job is done, you move. We have to deal with the issues that have to do with the investigations, check where the problems are, and be in a position to deal with it.
Okay. There are none that are so blind as those who cannot see. Right, let's move on. Procurement and contract management, points 29, 30, and 31. Who's your procurement person, Minister, or are you going to help us on that as well? Okay, Minister, well, let's get into it. The CFO. Right, so goods and services of transaction value above 500,000 rand are procured without inviting competitive bids. How often did that happen? How many instances were there of that? And you know what's coming next, what was done about it. Do you have that information? Or are you going to give me another list?
Yes, Chair, we have the information. That's what caused some of the irregular expenditures, not all of it, but
okay.
Part of the irregular expenditure list.
How
the one
many
that you provided, the one that you provided to the Chair, it does list the names of people who contravene the.
So this Chair.
No, we have provided a detailed list.
The spreadsheets. Oh, that's the one you handed up now,
yeah.
Which we will get in due course. Okay, that's fine. Does that also cover 30 and 31? Which is thresholds for local content in designated sectors, procurement where in some instances not properly applied, and then 31 is contracts and certain issues were awarded to bidders based on preference points that were not calculated correctly in terms of the PPPF Act. Now,
yes,
who looks after your PPPF process?
In the department, we have regional offices. In each regional offices, we have regional heads and finance officials. Ultimately, it comes to the CFO, who is the head of all the procurement in the department. So action has been taken in various regions where finance officers were there, as well as regional heads. And all that is provided in the spreadsheet in terms of the names and what the nature of the transgression.
Okay, so how many instances were there of these contracts where the figures were not calculated, the preference points were not calculated properly?
Chairperson, we did not count them separately as that. It's all in the separate. We dealt with them in incidences, but we haven't calculated separately.
Okay. Now, the AG's report says that preference points that were not calculated correctly. So that opens up negligence or deliberate. Can you comment on that?
Chairperson, I think what the Honourable Member is referring to is exactly what he said. It was negligent. It refers to the three security companies that the Honourable Member also mentioned at our previous appearance.
Thick and Thin.
Thick and Thin, yes. Those were not calculated properly, and that investigation is concluded. We've engaged the suspects, if I can call them as suspects, in this regard. So, yeah, it refers to exactly that, and there was negligence on that.
Okay. All right.
Then where are you? You contacted the suspects, and then what?
Chairperson, we've done the investigation, so we have the information now. So we now supply the information to the individuals. Then we provide them with an opportunity to then seek their either legal assistance or from the union. They then get an opportunity to respond back to us. That is where we are now. We're waiting for their response to come back. Once the response is back, we will then review our findings and their response, reach a conclusion. Once we've reached the conclusion, we will then look at available case law and make a recommendation to the Director General on how we think the matter should then proceed. The matter then goes to the Director General, who will then apply his mind in terms of the law and then take a decision on that. So we are in that engagement at the moment.
How long will that take?
Jefferson, we normally give them 5 days to respond, but then they do ask for postponements.
When are you going to give them this?
It's difficult to say, but we should be concluding on this one, where are we now, by mid, the report should be with the Director General by mid-September. Depending, obviously, if there's more postponements from the legal team, sometimes they ask more information, so it takes time, but the idea is for that matter to be with the DG by mid-September.
Okay. Of all of these people under investigation, how many of them are foreigners? Are there any, is it all South African citizens or are there any foreigners working for the department that are under investigation?
Jefferson, I don't know the nationalities of everyone. As far as I know, it is our own employees.
So the Cubans are behaving, that's what I mean. Okay, that was just an aside. All right, just one last question, Minister. Por favor, correas las tuberas le agua. In Spanish, that means, can you please fix the pipes? So I suppose communication with the Cubans isn't going very well.
The good thing about the Cubans, they learn so quick. They speak English. Others are speaking Zulu now and Shangaan.
Okay, Minister. Thank you very much. I'll head over to my colleague. Thank you.
thank you very much, Chair. I'm subjecting myself, Chairperson, to your directive. Ordinarily, I would have left. I had no intention of continuing with this hearing whatsoever, because I know an ambush when I see one. And at 30, I doubt that I want to be a victim of an ambush. But because, Chair, you are here, I'm subjecting myself to your direction.
Thank you very much.
As a disciplined cadre of this committee.
Thank you very much.
Chair, listen, I'm going to ask very general questions before I get into what I want to
do. Just a minute, can you...
In the 15-16 financial year, what was the overall budget allocation of the department?
If you give me a minute, I'll get to it now, but I know it was in the region of 16 billion rand.
Chair, I'd request you give me the minute.
It is 16 billion.
How much of it did you spend in that financial year?
We had an underspending of about 189 million.
Minister, you said that the media reported something when you spoke about the allegations in the media about underspend and so on and about all those things, money going back. And I'm not the media spokesperson. I'm sure they're capable of doing for themselves. But I can assure you that on that particular day when you are not here, after probing and probing, the issue that you raised as a media report came from the officials. After probing and probing. God, I get checked, here's where I am. So you had payables in 15-16 of 226.9 million rand. And then you had, which 190.6 million of that was payable in 30 days, and 36.3 million rand was longer than 30 days. That's in the first instance. Your accruals for 15-16 were half a billion rands. 45 million rands was for goods and services, and 455 was for capital projects. 68.7 million rands is for a period longer than 30 days. And the only conclusion I then again come to, Honorable Chairperson, is that had the department paid those amounts, it would have amounted to unauthorized expenditure. The inability or the decision not to pay meant, as far as I'm concerned, that it was a malicious compliance. You rather escape unauthorized expenditure, which is a far more serious transgression, and rather not pay at all. I would like Chairperson to be taken through with the most patient of detail as to how is it that we ended up with a scenario of accruals to the tune of which I've alluded to and exorbitant payables of that amount. Because, so that's the question, Chair. Clear terms, deal with the accruals and how we got there. And then secondly, Chair, in fact, before that question is answered, let me just get my train of thought right. Since 2014, Minister, when you came into the department, how many DGs have there been? Before we deal with the accruals, how many DGs since you assumed office have you had?
and how many people have acted in the space of those two ditches? Yes.
When I came in, there was an acting, and then there was a DG, and then there was a DG, and then there was an acting. So there were two people who have acted since I came in, and two people who have been DGs.
Why did the first DG leave?
She sent me a notice saying she's opting to resign, and you then leave with the decision of a person.
Second DG?
We have charged the DG, and the he's still under suspension until the 16th of September, and we will be dealing with the hearing in due course.
How many CFOs has the department handed your period as minister?
Two. I found one in the department.
And then, what happened to that DG, to that CFO?
That's the one that we were responding to. She had to be removed from that position immediately when we realized that this is a challenge.
So she left in July. Mr. Mkhize arrived in November. Who was operating in that, who was acting in that position between July and November?
It was Rebecca, who was then the acting CFO.
What position did she ordinarily hold outside acting?
She was a chief director.
Responsible for?
She was in the finance unit in the office of the CFO.
Okay. Chair, you know, I probe this with, I want to paint the picture of instability. When will we arrive at a point in government where we can have a DG complete her term? It must at some point trigger a national resolve and a national commitment. There's something fundamentally wrong at appointment, which then lands us in this particular mess of which we are dealing with now. All right, Chair, thank you very much, Minister. So let's get into accruals. Your accruals are exorbitant, scary to say the least, frightening to say the worst. So how did we arrive at accruals 2015-16 of R500 million?
Thank you, Chair. Earlier we tried to give a breakdown of the total accruals of R500 million.
May I please not be referred to earlier, because I think my concerns around that are known. I'm looking for a detailed explanation so that we can go into it. But I don't even have earlier here.
Okay.
So I can't refer to it.
Thank you, Chair. The breakdown of the 500 million rand of accruals is that we've given a breakdown, say, of the 500 million rand accruals, of which 457 million is for infrastructure projects, and 43 million rand was for goods and services. And we went further to explain that of those invoices that were received just before we closed our books, they were still within the 30-day period, and only 36 million rand worth of invoices were over the 30-day period. So they were not longer than 30 days. In other words, there is not invoices that were received and we kept them in our offices, but it is invoices that we just received at year end. And subsequent to that, they were processed as a normal payment within the 30-day period in the subsequent financial year.
So you had 16 billion rands for the financial year. You have an accrual of R500 million. If I were to make the exaggerated assumption that had the year end not ended on the 31st of March 2016 and say it ended in August 31, 2016, where would you have gotten the money to pay this exorbitant amount of money that you had outstanding? Because all you had at year end was 189 million rand. And I'm still interested to understand in what areas did you actually underspend that 180 million rand from?
Chair, we are dealing with multi-year projects. And in some of these projects, depending on the nature and the programming of it. Some of them work gets done quicker. Take Kiani for instance. Kiani was earmarked to be done over 5 years, but the phase one of it has been completed in the 2.5 years. So instead of surrendering money back, where the projects are with C value and they are moving at the speed other than other projects, we do commit funding for those projects and we pay them thereof. Hence, we had these accruals where planning, everything in terms of planning has been done and work has been done, and we commission those projects and we...
So the admission is that you are landed with a situation where you're not meeting your own timelines in terms of implementation?
No, they are too efficient. They are too efficient. They finish projects way, way beyond their stated timeline. And I thought you would have an interest in saying, you know what, these are the projects that were ended earlier than their scheduled time and constituted so much of the accruals, just like that.
The point I wanted to raise was, all right, I'm really interested to get a breakdown of these projects. I want to see this speed. But the one point I always make is, we had 6 years to prepare for the World Cup and we did one hell of a job. You know, we got it on time to the T. So if there's excellence of some sort, why then do we have these problems in terms of infrastructure? I'm trying to understand. I just battle. I get a sense of the Zama rushed payments, Chairperson. The 189 million rand underspent, in what areas was that?
I thought you still want a breakdown on the project that led to the accrual.
Chair, you know why I raised that question the last time. So if it doesn't appear in any of the things that have been submitted, I'm going to take it as if it's not there. Because I don't want Chair to divorce May from today.
Yeah, no, I thought
okay.
You'll give him the space to talk to. Because the Comrade Minister, looking at the list of things to be done, this question on those companies that finished early was there in May. In terms of the list of information that was supposed to be sent to us after the hearing, which has not been done. It's number 6 here in our spreadsheet. Companies paid because they finished ahead of schedule. Which companies are these? Why were they paid earlier than they should have been? Who made the determination of who should pay ahead of what? So it is a question that was raised in terms of seeking details. And do we have those details? Because I would imagine that's very important for you in terms of explaining the accruals and to show that it had nothing to do with the, you know, over expenditure necessarily. Because if you look at the irregular expenditure in terms of your own report of December 2016, you have a lot of projects where they went overboard in terms of payment.
Thanks, Chair. The project that went way ahead of its program, it is the Kiani project that eventually led us into irregular payment. We've got details as to how much was paid.
But that's what we want. I'm saying beyond Kiani. If you say Kiani was completed in time and so you had to pay them in this financial year, how much was it? So that we subtract it from that 500 million and which other project we subtract so that we're able to say, oh, okay, these accruals were indeed incurred because projects were finished in time.
Chair, the project that I'm aware of that was finished was ahead of his schedule is Giani. I will provide details of the invoices that we had with us as at the end of the financial year, but we had invoices on Giani. Thanks.
So, it's Giani. You can't use it as a general statement because in May, that was actually put across as the main, in fact, as the only reason. But no, it's not a problem. It's just that our projects were finished. You were not there, Ms. Matt. So that's why we're looking for this breakdown. But it turns out it's only Kian. Continue.
Chair, so we're dealing with 15, 16. How much did you... let me put it this way. Did the department, rather, underspend in 14, 15? And if it did, by how much?
Yeah, in 14, 15, yes, there was an underspending of about plus or minus 2 billion.
CFO, acting DG rather, sorry. You had these commitments. What were your commitments going into 16, 17?
Were your commitments going into 2016-17?
Okay. In 15-16, our commitment was 9.4 billion. Mm-hmm. And of that, approved and contracted was 487 million, and approved but not yet contracted was 54 million. And that was related to goods and services. Then we had the infrastructure projects commitment, of which approved and contracted was 8.8 billion, and approved not contracted was 30 million. That gives a total of 9.4 billion.
Did Treasury approve of these rollovers?
Is that in 2014-15 or 15-16?
If we may start 14-15-16, so that we can read it in its context. And then 16-17. Let's do those 3 years so we can place 15-16 in a proper context. Or maybe let's put it generally then. Has Treasury approved any rollovers in that 3 year period? 14-15, 16-17, which enable you to settle these accruals?
As far as I know, Chair, no. But I can verify that information because it was before my time.
Okay. So, how did you settle these accruals? So, what process was then embarked upon to deal with this particular situation of accruals and payables?
Sorry, Chair, my colleague DDG Infrastructure wanted to respond on the earlier question about rollovers.
Thanks, Chair. 14-15, there were some rollovers that were approved. 15-16, after the 2 billion under expenditure, no rollovers were approved. And then it necessitated that the following year we had to make adjustments then into the project that we already approved so that we could accommodate the rollovers that were not approved. 16-17.
To accommodate the rollovers that were not approved or to accommodate the accruals?
The accruals, sorry. Yes, sorry.
Chair, I still fundamentally, Chairperson, believe that had these payments been done at year end 2016, the department would have incurred an
overexpended, well, obviously.
Unauthorized expenditure.
Yeah. And there was a malicious compliance. I'm still yet to hear a succinct counter to that claim. There wasn't one in May, and I doubt I'm going to find one today. Because, Chair, a question to the Minister. Did National Treasury approve a department's requested rollover of 1.6 billion rands, 1.5 billion rands, and so on? National Treasury has not yet approved my department's request for rollover. So now, you see, that adjustment which is being spoken of is a malicious adjustment that is being referred to. So, there's this maneuvering outside process. So, right, that's not happened. We'll adjust, we will. Chair, I feel like I'm hitting my head against the wall because these issues were raised last time and the forthcoming responses are the same as the last time. I am still adamant of that conclusion. But Chair, I heard that the CE of Libel is here. And I crave your indulgence, Chairperson, in this regard, because the Minister has spoken at length about Libel. And I'm not sure whether now at a later stage, to get some sorts of, not responses, we're not about to have an exchange between the CEO and the Minister here. For us to get a sense of, or rather for the CEO to take us into his confidence about addressing the challenges which have been presented before us, since he's made all the effort of coming here. But, right, Chair. Then we've got this perennial problem in government. And I always make the point that if any of us in this room were not paid on payday, any of us from the committee side, the people, any person here who receives a salary, if they are not paid on the day which they're supposed to be paid, you'll see them on Twitter, you'll see them on Facebook, you will see them phoning everybody, questioning which, hey, my debit orders are bouncing, this has not been paid, this has not been paid, because all of us subscribe to a 30-day cycle. Why are service providers not being paid within 30 days? And we subject them to the kind of headache that we try and avoid ourselves. So at the end of the financial year 15-16, how much did you owe with I'm a service provider. From 130 days, why are we not adhering to that particular 30 days? Where's the problem there?
Thank you, Chair. At the end of 2015-16 financial year, 36 million rand worth of invoices were not paid within 30 days. We did acknowledge that prior to 2015-16, there were challenges about internal controls in terms of making sure that invoices are received in one central point where the tracking would become much easier. We receive invoices from different regions, about 9 regions, including the head office. So prior to this, we had a serious challenge of making sure that all invoices are accounted for at one central point as they enter the department. It's still a work in progress. I'm not claiming here that 100% of invoices are paid within 30 days, but we've made a significant improvement on that.
How much interest were you charged for on this 36 million rand after you had gone over your 30 days? And then I'd be interested to know how much was your 60 days and your 90 days and your 120 days.
No, fortunately, in the 36 million rand, we did not pay any interest.
60 days?
We did not pay any interest on late payment of invoices, because subsequent to that, we processed all the invoices.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, these are multi-year projects, is service providers that we deal with on a month-to-month basis.
So the service providers ordinarily had their paperwork up to date. The shortcoming was on the part of the department.
It is a process.
36
is a process that involves service providers and ourselves, because projects after being after we receive the claim certificate, the engineers and quantity surveyors have to go on site, do the verification together with the service provider.
I think if you had the details, you would say out of the 36 million, 20 million was as a result of a dispute around amounts and invoices. So much it was because of our own administrative delays. In that way, it will assist us. But if you don't have those details, then say, well, I don't have those details.
Details not available.
Chair, I don't have the details here now, but I will make the list of the breakdown of this to the chair.
So I'm going to assume, Kabazela, that when you say you've made progress, that as we ended 16-17 in March and we anticipate the report next month, we are not going to have invoices of 30 days of a higher amount than 36 million rands. If the systems you suggest are in place are functional, commitment in that regard.
Chair, we shall provide a report in terms of the aging of our invoices, how much we are within 30 days, how much are within 60 days, at the end of 16-17 financial year. And that will sort of explain or indicate the question that the member is raising.
Chair. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, what he's saying is the problem is not eliminated.
Chair, that kind of admission and if only diplomatic would 36 million rands 15-16 Kabala says he is not claiming 100%, so I'm saying should we expect a lesser amount? Ilula jislalo ewe nomaka, but then if that's not the case, it would mean lama systems are cooling ngawo. For all intents and purposes, the Salma Kashila.
Chair, I don't want to commit any figure. It's better if I look at the actual figures at year end. Then I will present the information.
Well, he was not looking for a figure. He was merely saying, as at the end of the financial year, at the end of March this year, you or did you not have outstanding invoices that had not been paid? So it's either no, we had them, or no, we did not have them. The question of how much, I think that's what we'll deal with when the report comes. But the principle, please, sure.
No, I think what we can indicate is that it's the number of invoices that we can demonstrate, including the amounts. But what is of importance, Honorable Shengwa, is that some of the invoices vary on the basis of a project. And I thought possibly that's what we should actually be able to explain, that you may find one project that is worth 200 million, and the it's only one invoice. And it's those things that I think the acting DG must actually finish the committee with. But what you would then see is that the number of outstanding invoices has actually decreased.
No, sir. Let's allow him to finish. When okay. He's done and she is done, then we'll allow every other person.
I just want to clarify on the issue, because there was reports before the portfolio committee that answers to the question that he's asking now.
Just bear with us. We'll give you the opportunity to come in.
Chair, so I'm going to assume that we are anticipating a higher figure, and I will only be proved wrong by the final report. But
All right. Of the accruals on goods and services, it was for travel. Uduma travel, uhambe hlala, no pagisa. What is going on? Giwapi? Why is this? What's going on in terms of the travel sector section? Who's going where besides coming to our country, Scopa?
Chair, we have a number of infrastructure projects all over the country, and our engineers, they travel a lot. Some, they stay a week or two in different